We are in good hands. It's so exciting to see young women rise up. Now, Zoe Projects was birthed out of a moment that I had of somebody's got to do something. You know, those moments that we talked about last night. And I mentioned last night that my husband and I travel internationally. And we get a front row seat to seeing the plight of women around the world. And we also visit with Canadians that work with women around the world. And then I would come home to Canada and, you know, with my girlfriends or speaking at conferences or doing different things. And I realized that Canadian women had no idea about this work. So you have a moment where you go, somebody's got to do something. Then you look around and you go, well, it might as well be me. And so that that is what we're doing, and that's what's being birthed. And what I love about it, for you, those of you who are from Living Waters, is that not a Living Waters video? All the women in there are from Living Waters. Rob Wilson, who's on sound and media today, actually was the filmmaker. And yes, so I just love that. Birthed out of this place. I'm going to interview Lauren. Would you mind coming up here? Where did the, you can grab the mic from Jenny. So last night, we learned that we have a mandate by God to use what he's placed within us. We don't have a mandate to be someone that we're not, but we just need to be ourselves. But we do have a great responsibility to understand what God has placed in us and actually own it. So often we don't own it because we're, you know, frightened that people think, oh, who does she think she is? Or we don't own it because we think, you know, everyone's smarter than me. They all have the passcode that was never given to me, those kinds of things. And so we don't move forward. But we have a responsibility to understand our gifts and our abilities and our passions. And I always think of it like building a composite. As we are students of ourselves, to understand what God has placed there, even where we're located. You know, where do we go to work? Where do we go to school? And all of this is a really unique fingerprint. And that's what I love about God and his creativity and how he uses people. He puts that all together into this unique little package called you. And so, you know, through this conference, our hope is that you'll understand that you are you. Wonderfully made, a daughter of God, and that there's a reason where you're at, and there's a reason that you care about the things that you care about. So anyway, this is Lauren, and I'm a processor. Like I like to kind of, you know, hear about how people are interacting with material, and so Lauren is my friend, and we've known each other for. Don't be nervous.
Hello.
What year are you in at Trinity?
It's just like so awkward. Okay, I'm a third year at Trinity.
You're in third year at Trinity. What are you studying there?
I'm studying business.
Okay, business.
Yep.
And what's the...
Sorry, I love my business degree.
Now, I have noticed, Lauren is actually a friend of my son, and our house is just kind of open to all my kids' friends, and so we have developed our own friendship over the last couple of years. But I really see leadership in you, and I've watched that over the years. Now, is leadership something that you've embraced?
I think so. Going off of the question from last night, like, are you a leader? I would say that I'm a leader. However, in different contexts of my life, it has taken longer to own it, I think. Because, I'm the oldest of five kids, so in my family, I'm obviously a leader. There's, four younger children who need to be fed when my parents are gone, so I'm going to feed
right.
them.
Right. What a good daughter.
Thank you.
Was leadership talked about in your home growing up, in your church? Like, what kinds of ideas about leadership did you receive?
I think from my family, ideas of leadership were you need to take responsibility. It wasn't like this is a beautiful thing that we can grow in. It was like, well, you need to do it. So I just kind of do things because I feel like I have to.
Right.
And then in my church, it wasn't... I kind of had to impose my leadership onto my church. They didn't really see it coming, but it was awesome. And that was really cool, actually, in just stepping out in faith because I felt called to... What I did in my church was I planned our family camp, but I was in grade 12, and I was like, so I'm going to plan our family camp. And they're like, well, do you need help? And I was like, well, I'll assemble in my own team. Don't worry about a church. Like, I'll just go for it. So that was really cool to step out in that. But I think my main experience with leadership and starting to, like, study leadership and grow in that and was actually in high school. I had a vice principal who... for some reason, just was like, Lauren, we are going to meet intentionally, and I'm going to mentor you in leadership. So
wow.
That was actually incredible, and she's one of the most influential people in my life.
That's fantastic. And actually, if you ask women that have gone on to stuff, they will often point to a couple of key figures in their lives that have always called them on. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned last night, you know, being in the Milestones in Abbotsford, bawling at the table, and with this woman saying, you're unnamed. Like, I needed someone to actually say, no, this is what I see in you, and I'm actually calling it out. Which is a real, and, you know, you can be mentoring at your age. You're 21.
20.
So you can be mentoring younger women at your age, and I have a responsibility to mentoring you and your peers, and actually you're mentoring me because, you know, you're keeping me up with the old Twitter thing and all that kind of stuff,
right? I don't have a Twitter account, sorry.
What?
I don't have a Twitter account.
Elise helps me with that, so. yeah, and it's interesting, too, like, that tension of being in a church setting, that I know you love your community mm-hmm. that you grew up in, but they were not necessarily... releasing of women in ministry or women in leadership, and that's a tension that we all have to kind of work through.
The tension of that had to, because in high school, as I was starting to learn about leadership, and this teacher was like, yes, Lauren, you are a leader, and you love leadership, and this brings you life, and I was like, this does bring me life, I love this, I'm going to, like, get more leaders, and then coming sometimes to my church and being like, why are there no females doing anything?
Yeah.
And I had a lot of bitterness, actually, in my heart, and I needed to forgive my church because in some ways I felt hurt because I was like, you are not helping me do this. And I think in order for me to actually start serving and therefore leading in my church, I had to submit myself to God and then to my church being like, okay, we have this difference, but I'm not going to just, like, bulldoze in being like, I know everything and you don't, mm-hmm. because there is so much wisdom in my church
exactly.
and in the church leadership, and so it's a humbling process.
Yeah, it's a tension. I mean, if you had met me when I was, say, 30, you would have met someone that had a lot of anger mm-hmm. about leadership and, you know, hurts that I had sustained in different, you know, communities that I'd been a part of, and that's never the answer, to be hurt and to be resentful and that kind of thing, but it's this tension that we are in, right? And so we have to follow the Lord's wisdom in that. So is there anything that freaks you out about leadership?
Yes, I think for me, I can say that I love being a leader, but then I think in my mind I have, like, little circles where I like being a leader. And I'm like, yeah, I can lead that little circle or I can lead that. But then there's some things that I'm like, oh, that would terrify me because I don't feel qualified to be a leader in certain situations. And
and you'll grow into it because there's certain situations that, no, you're like a 45-year-old has a greater capacity mm-hmm. because we've been through life and have been around the block about 100 times. And, you know, and...
It's not supposed to be patronizing. I'm never allowed over again.
I'll never forget the moment. I was actually at Darcy, my husband and I used to lead a conference called History Maker for 3,000 students every May long weekend. We did that for about 11 years. And I'll never forget being at the front and praying for kids at the altar. And I had always felt like the cool older sister. And then suddenly I realized I'm the mother. Like, when did that happen, right? But yeah, you know, and that's the neat thing about leadership is if you are faithful with what God places in front of you, so you've been faithful at Trinity in some of the leadership roles that you have, what you'll find is that your capacity for leadership mm-hmm. will actually grow. If your character keeps up with the opportunities mm-hmm. that are presented to you, and you are a person of integrity, you're a servant, you're all of that kind of stuff, you will experience such favor in your leadership. There's no shortcuts in leadership. There is no shortcuts. It is hard work. You know, like, ooh, this is jazz hands glamorous, but this is not leadership. Here. You should have been with me the last 3 months. Then you would have seen leadership. So, yeah. Well, thank you, Lauren. I appreciate that. Very good. Thank you. You can just leave that there. Yeah, so good. So I want you to get into groups of three, and I want you to answer this question. When it comes to leadership, what gets in our way? Why don't we move forward in the things that we dream for? Oh, not that one. Sorry. Sorry, Rob. That was me. So what gets in our way? Why do we not move forward in what we dream of? On your mark, get set, go. We're going to pull you back. And we want to hear from you. Jenny's got a mic that she's going to kind of take. But I really want to hear from you. What holds women back? Anyone? Bold, willing? Jenna appears bold and willing. What holds us back?
Sorry. We were just talking about, we feel like fear holds women back, fear of rejection, fear of what other people will think, because a lot of the time we've been trained by society to really worry about what other people will think of your actions and whether you know your motivations and your the reasons you're going for whatever you're going for are like good and you just want to do good things, but you think people will misinterpret it.
And absolutely. So. And people will misunderstand you all the time if you really choose to do anything of value. You know, people can make all kinds of judgments about motivations and what you're doing and what this is about and stuff. Yeah, for sure.
Our group talked about waiting to be asked or invited into a position of leadership.
And so sometimes you can just wait there and go, okay, I'm willing. Someone noticed, someone... it's coming any time.
Yeah. It's like you're sitting at the doorstep going,
totally.
I'm here.
Yeah. And I would suggest that that's almost like, I think that's a cultural Canadian thing too, that whole tall poppy, keep everybody down. And so when we, it's almost like when Jesus, you know, came and it's like, what good has come out of Nazareth, right? So, you know, and someone, what good could come out of living waters? It's like, well, actually, there's a lot of good here. And there's a lot of, yeah, but sometimes we overlook what's right in front of us. Someone else. Jenny. Yes.
Am I equipped?
Yes.
To lead?
Yes.
And that can almost paralyze us.
Am I equipped to lead? Absolutely. And I think we've done a disservice to women where we go, a girlfriend and I were just talking about this week, where we go, okay, so you're in charge of this. Good luck. We don't actually prepare women for success. And so that's why last night it was like, okay, these are the heart skills that, you know, that we need, but these are the hard skill set, the core skill sets that we need to have. And so, but let's be honest, I'm not sure we'll ever feel prepared. And so sometimes we hide behind that and go, oh, I'm not ready. I have met 60-year-old women that have walked with Jesus for 45 years that tell me they're not ready to mentor younger women. And I go, really? Really? And we hide. You will never be prepared. You will never be prepared for what God calls you into. You should always be just a little bit freaked out. And if you're not stretched or you're not freaked out, you're not actually doing something worth doing. So at Living Waters, the leadership stuff we do, we have women take on leadership projects. And one of the criteria is it has to kind of scare you a bit. Because if it doesn't scare you a bit. Anyway, what else holds us back?
I wasn't here last night, but...
yeah, let's use the mic.
But I got a synopsis from April, so... this might sound a little bit funny, but I think sometimes our idea of leadership holds us back from leadership.
Yes.
Because we have this idea that leadership is to be bossy or directive, yeah, or take control from things.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the times leadership, and you probably mentioned this last night, looks more like I see a need, I serve that need. And so so you end up leading just because you're saying, this needs to be done, I can't do it by myself, hey, you, could you do that, and you do that, and it's not because you're trying to be a leader, like, in that, like, I'm going to stand up there and I'm going to do this stuff, but it's more like, this needs to be done, and we're going to do it together,
yeah,
you know?
And it feels really odd, and sometimes it can almost feel a bit masculine in a way.
Mm, yeah.
Right? Because and our models of leadership have been, you know, the uber super guy who,
yeah,
goes
and
forward and, you know, commands boardrooms and all this kind of stuff. And so it can be uncomfortable. And in fact, when I started ministry, I actually downplayed my femininity a lot because I'm like, okay, I sit at tables with men, my brothers, who I love, but here I sit with men, so, okay, well, I need to be like them. I can't cry. I can't, you know, I get, you know. And I had a lightning rod moment. Probably, it was here at Living Waters, probably about 8 years ago. And I left the church, and I'm crying in our minivan, telling Darcy, I preach like a girl. As if preaching like a girl is a bad thing. I made a judgment about it. And he looked at me and he said, it's because you're a girl. And you know what? From that time on, I've like, okay, I'm going to own my femininity. Yeah. What does leadership look like through me? What does pastoring look like through me? What does preaching look like through me? So I'm not going to put on the power business suit with the bow up here. That was the 80s. Some of you will remember that. Yeah, but we resist it because we think it just feels so masculine. Someone else. Back here. Jenny, run. Okay, let's do this one, then we'll do this one.
There was a couple of things I found. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and we have huge families.
Can you use this better?
Oh, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and we have a huge family, like 500,000. It's always the same women every year. So women get burnt out. So
yes.
Who wants to come forward when you're a young person? The second was, now that I'm divorced, I found my ex-husband got really mad and guilty that I was stepping out in leadership mm-hmm. and helping other people. Yeah. So some women don't want to do that because they feel guilty about sharing their time
exactly.
and talents.
Exactly. Yeah, not sensing that release from those that are closest to us. Now, there was one over here, and I think we'll move on then.
In our group, we shared most of the same things. Age, you get a certain amount of confidence that comes with it. Fear of not being equipped. But I think, I'll share a little bit my heart. I'm a leader in all sorts of areas, right up to politics. But what sets me back is things that you can't control. Things out of your realm. So you just got to rely on God and stick with it.
Yeah, very good. There will always be obstacles. There will always be things in the way. And we just have to move past some of those things, some of the chatter, some of the self-doubt, the self-talk that's negative. And to move past if God is calling us into something. All of this, to be clear, is under the leadership of Christ in our lives. Anything that I do comes under the mission of our home that Darcy and I have established together. So, you know, like there's order to it, but we're free to lead. So when we lead, it begins really with an openness to be used and to not be stopped by the obstacles. And it's amazing what God will do with a woman who simply says yes. And when we're open, we begin to see opportunities. We begin to see those moments of somebody's got to do something. And leadership is about bringing change. Seeing something that needs to be done, seeing something that isn't right, seeing something that is unjust, whatever, and bringing change to that. So I want you to go back to your small groups and answer this question. What situation around you needs to change? What situation around you needs to change?
You are
Okay, we're going to bring you back again. And again, I kind of want to hear from a couple of you, if you are willing to share what you notice needs to change. Lift your hand. Right in the back here. What needs to change?
Not living for man's approval or other people's approval, but listening for Jesus.
Okay.
Listening for Holy Spirit.
Yep. Yep. Good. Does anyone have a situation, like a specific situation that needs to change that you've noticed? Jen. Run, Jenny, run! Right here, sorry.
And I'm uncomfortable saying it just because it feels like get off your soapbox, but I really think this is something that's been put on my heart and I've put away and put away, is the homogenous church.
Mm.
So
right.
All whites, all blacks, all Asians,
yes.
All and the
yes.
Breakdown of it. And I just feel like we won't come close to reaching the kingdom or being anything like it until those barriers are put down. And I really think that's a way women have, I was just saying to our group, a lower tolerance for that sort of thing. And I think that's a place where women can take lead.
And as a black woman, you would see that, right?
Yes.
So we all have blind spots where we don't see things.
Yes.
And that's why we need each other so that we can see things.
Yeah.
Really good. Another situation that needs to change.
I think that us as women need to all come together and stop being so like scared of each other and stop being intimidated and stop tearing each other down. Mm-hmm. And instead of doing that, I think we just need to, we're really good at like hating each other. And I feel like we all have really similar struggles. We all have similar like feelings and situations that we're going through. And I think we just need to come together and build each other up instead of tearing each other down and be the women in the church that we all want to be together.
Yeah. Irene, can I put you on the spot and ask you a couple questions? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Irene was like a spiritual mama to me when I was in my late 20s and she was in Terrace. And she is a pastor. She's worked with First Nations. What motivated you to begin to preach and pastor for First Nations people in BC?
It was a very strong calling of God, and it started out through prayer. And God began to put a burden on my heart for intercessory prayer for the First Nations. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I wasn't even involved in First Nations. But it was through prayer that calling came. Mm-hmm. And he prepared me through prayer. Mm-hmm. And it was at that time I said, "What God, you're doing this in me. You're birthing something in my spirit, and something's got to come. There's got to be, the womb is filling up, and something needs to birth here." And I said,
Bear down.
And you know, you get these stretch marks coming, right? It's okay, men. It's all right. Eventually you'll see them.
So great.
But what happened out of that, I said, "God, I can't take this anymore. Why are you showing me this white woman up there in native language? It's Gamshiwa, white, driftwood." And I said, "Why are you doing this to me when I have had no experience in this whatsoever?" And I said, "You got to be doing something." And I laid prostrate on the, this is all my lunch hour from working at Rona and the sanctuary floor, I laid prostrate. And I said, "God, I can't take this anymore." And I said, "You got to be doing something." Within a few days, I got a phone call at work asking if I would go into Haisla Village, Kitimat Village, mm-hmm. and speak to the ladies. And that's where it started. Then a few days, within a short time after that, I got asked by one of the board members and the pastor of the church if I would take their place out at a village right close by for home groups, which I connected up with Morris Mason.
Yeah.
So it was a development of, I'll tell you, if God tells you something, don't question it.
Yeah.
He would give me the word of God to preach when we would go out to the villages and doing outreach. And I would look for every man. This is my mentality at that mentality. I would look at every man in the home group, and I'd say, you must have it, you must have it, and you must have it. Say, no, and they all point to me. So not only did I feel intimidated because I was a woman, but I was also white. And right. I was going into an atmosphere where many times there were hundreds of First Nations people, and there was maybe three of us that were white. Yeah. And so it just got increased. He brought increase. And through that, the anointing came further as I would step out in faith with shaky knees, stomach feeling sick. And God would put me in I don't know how many different places I never dreamed of.
Yeah.
So let God break through the box that you've put around you.
Yes. Amen.
And know Amen. That the anointing of God comes as you step. Sometimes you won't feel the power of it until you actually take the step to do
Amen.
It.
Amen. Okay, let younger women receive that. That is wisdom that has been walking it out, and it's hard won, so receive that. So, you know, we can, like, think about, oh, I want to bring change here, I want to bring change there. But really, it's the Holy Spirit that will begin to birth something in you. You'll begin to go, oh. And I watched this with Irene. This is 20-some-odd years ago when God was doing this. And it's like, oh, something's there. And so really, we can have all the plans to change the world and go, you know, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And this is trendy right now, so I'm going to jump on this bandwagon. But really, it is the Spirit of God that will place something in you, and you just incubate it, and you pray into it, and you trust Jesus, and he will lead you forward. And I love that you said, stepping out with shaky feet, trusting that God is going to be there. So if we've discerned some sort of something, we've come to some sort of conclusion about something that God wants us to do, we have to understand what it is that he's asked to do, and then we need to begin to walk out. And what I do with women is I actually have them turn something into a SMART goal. I mean, this is not rocket science, people, right? See, this is it. Leadership is not rocket science. But I have people turn things into a SMART goal. And if you've ever been in any Leadership 101, you've seen this before. I'll tell them to make something specific. I can't tell you how many times, you know, Darcy and I, in our international work, people will go, I want to go help babies in Africa. And I'm like, doing what? What are you bringing the babies? Like, what, you know, specific, you know, to help babies in Africa, that's pretty vague. But as one woman, young woman from Living Waters did about a year and a half ago, she decided to sew pillowcase dresses for young girls in Africa. That's specific. That we can actually, you know, hang on and know exactly what we're doing. So specific. It also needs to be measurable. You need to be able to measure it. How will you know if you're successful? It has to be attainable. It is so damaging that we give a message to our kids that says, you can do anything that you want to. Did you know that that is simply not true? I will never be an Olympic athlete. That window has closed. I remember when Darcy... What? Curling, you're right. The dream lives, right? I'll never forget when Darcy was about turning 40, and he was kind of down one day, and I'm like, what's the matter? And he goes, I'm never going to make the NHL. Anyway. I just love it. I love you. Anyway, so it's got to be attainable. Is it within your ability, you know? And then R stands for relevant. The goal's got to mean something to you. It must push your passion button in way. It's got to, you know, it's got to meet the need that you're trying to to meet. And then time specific, it must have a completion date attached to it. So what I really encourage women in leadership is to go from this kind of airy-fairy zone to, I want to stop human trafficking. Okay. Well, yeah. Take it from that zone to go, you know what? This is what I'm going to do, and it's going to impact this. You know, I feel like we've built this culture of, like, dream big dreams that actually is damaging. I'd prefer that you dream really small dreams that are attainable that you can do and just see what God does. We tell people, you know, go big or go home, and it sends most of us to the couch. It's true. So think smaller. Think doable. Think what's in your hand. And do those things and see what God will do. I'm going to invite Jen Adkins to come up. This is my girlfriend. Yeah. Have a seat.
Thank you.
I love this lady. We met here at Living Waters, I guess about 3 years ago, hey?
Five
years ago? Okay. Just going so quick. and I'm a big fan of Jen. She actually has done a lot of work in, she's a sociologist. And she has taught at Trinity Western. She's right now applying for a PhD, and I'm so proud of her.
Thank you.
Because, you know, I'm just so glad that there's Christian women that are researching at this level and doing these kinds of things that are going to help some of, you know, us continue on. So we've talked over the years just about your reticence towards leadership.
Yes.
And I know that it was really hard for you. And when I met you, I was just like, you're such a leader. It's so plain, but you had trouble accepting it. Why is that?
Yeah, and I still do. And I was talking a little bit about this yesterday. I've kind of have a schizophrenic, I think, personality in that...
We all do.
That's good to know. In that I feel all of this bubbling up inside of me, and I want to do. And then when I'm put in the place to do it, I was just saying to Lori and Terry yesterday, I put on my tiny 12-year-old panties and try to fit in my tiny 12-year-old shoes, and I shrivel, and I shrink, and I can't do what I've been put in the place to do. And I think I've learned in my years of making myself small, because I am a tall black woman, and I think that used to make people uncomfortable. And I watch myself, even as a 40-some-year-old woman, shying back and making myself tiny. And I think that that has had its effects on me, mm-hmm. and that's why I have mm-hmm. a difficulty getting to that place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And growing up, you didn't have a lot of, like, I'm thinking, like, church community and family, did that complicate things as well?
I think I'm the youngest, different from Lauren, I think it was, but I acted like the oldest. So that leadership was there. You know, my sisters would break rules or curfew, and I'd be lecturing them or waiting with their pajamas at the door so they could get in before my dad caught them. And that sort of thing. So that was there for sure. But I can't say, I think there was a lot of nay-speaking more than anything. My dad would say, you could, you know, go out and do what you need to do, but at the same time, you can't change the world. So both messages. And as a child in school, I was told again and again, you can't do it. You can't do school. That's not an exaggeration. Try to find a trade because you're not smart enough to do school. And so even those messages throughout university from profs as well, come back and haunt me even at my age.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I actually didn't go to university. I went to college because I didn't think I was smart enough for university. Like,
yeah.
And I'm pretty smart.
You're darn smart. You're darn smart.
Thank you, Jen.
Well, and you're a big part of me challenging that side of me is the way you reacted to me when I met you and how you were just like, tell me what you want to do. And I felt so alive by it, but at the same time felt incapable and unequipped.
Right.
Yeah.
So in my memory, this kind of came to a head at a retreat we had like last February or so. So just over a year ago, where God did something in you.
Yeah. The identity retreat, and I wasn't going to go. It was my first ladies retreat, and I didn't think they were for me.
Well,
not that
no.
I'm better
Who likes
or anything.
Ladies retreats, just, like really.
I had a stereotype in my head, and I went, and I was just blown away. And Cheryl Kopp, was speaking there, and there was something she said, and she said a lot, but when I went home, I was going through my journal, kind of in my God time, and she said something like, God, we don't think God talks to us, and I this is my song that I play over and over again. I don't hear him, and he doesn't talk to me. And so I was reading it, and she said, God talks to us, but sometimes we don't hear what he's saying. And sometimes when those big messages are there or a message is there, we just put it aside. So as I'm praying this, I thought, you know what? Young girls need the same kind of experience mm-hmm. because I can't believe what it's done to me. And so then I ran into my little office and pulled out my journal where I keep all my ideas. And I was about to write it down, and I thought, okay, he might be talking to me right now. Mm-hmm. And I got all hot and sweaty, and the breathing increased. And then I called Monica, who had just been doing a Real Women series, and that also made me feel like, what are we doing? Yeah. So I know she was very nervous. She shared that story with me, with all of us. And I thought, okay, I need to tell her because she'll hold me accountable. And she says, you need to call Doug right now. Doug is a pastor of the church. And I don't know if I, she says, no, do it right now. As soon as you hang up with me, you send an email or something. And so I sent an email. And I was told I should talk. Well, Linda told me I should talk to Leanne. And I talked to Leanne, and Leanne said, let's go for coffee. And she had this face on like, I know. and we talked about it. And she kind of reminded me that I had a little bit of time because I wanted to finish school. And it was May. It was May that I'd be able to do something. And I was planning to have it in June. And I'd already put a deposit down.
A girls' retreat for preteen girls.
For preteen girls from grade 6 to 8.
And the message that you wanted to send them was?
That they're daughters of Christ and they're enough.
Yeah.
And just watching, my boys are 13. Last year they were in grade 7. And I'd watch these little girls that I would see from grade 4 and on changing and almost having this inner turmoil about who they were. These guys sang there too. You guys were great, yeah. And this inner turmoil of who they were and who they're supposed to be and what they were representing, who they were showing themselves to be. And almost the confident girls I saw just crumbling and becoming disabled almost in a way. You know what I mean? Like they just couldn't express what they were able to articulate at a younger age. They suddenly turned into, yeah, no, I don't care kind of attitude. I'm a mom doing this. Forgive me for the younger ones. Suddenly they weren't who they seemed to be displaying at a younger age.
Right. So, and what's interesting to note is that this comes out of your own experience, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's what, one of our workshops is going to be called Nothing Wasted. Michelle Yackel's going to do it, I think, right after this.
Okay.
And it's about that. Like, God uses these experiences to propel us and to bring freedom and to be able to speak into things because of difficult things that we've done in the past.
Yes.
So you decided you'd never organized a retreat / conference before, and you decided to do it. Was that difficult?
Well, I actually had, but I've always done it under an umbrella of the government or something. So you're kind of fitted in, and that's your job, that's your mandate. To come from nothing with really no organization or church backing me, mm-hmm. like without knowing, mm-hmm. that was very scary.
Yeah.
And the church was incredibly supportive and the school was supportive, but going out and putting the deposit down,
yep.
all the rest without knowing where money was going to come from was terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember you then, I need to build a team.
Yes.
Because you can't put on a conference, right?
Your help. That's what you said. Yes.
And I was out of the country, I do believe. But anyway, so I watched Jen pull together a team. Corey was on that team. Sagina was on that team. Like, it was just really neat.
Yeah.
As you know. And did you know what you were doing? No. But was God faithful? Were we all gracious with each other? Lynn, you were there. Gracious with each other as you work it out. You don't have to have it all together and have a perfect plan to move forward in what God has for you.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. Because God is going to use that and give you more confidence with the next little assignment he gives you, you know? Yeah. We build and build and build.
Can I say one last thing?
Let her rip.
The interesting part is I knew this wasn't something I was supposed to continue doing, and all of the women involved, and especially the younger women, like there's so many women. Can you put your hands up if you're involved at that retreat? Everybody, yeah? Like
nice.
The amount of women in the room that, thank you again, that were involved, I knew that wasn't about me, and that was really actually fulfilling thing is it wasn't about me. Mm-hmm. It was about God. Mm-hmm. And I felt really privileged that he asked me to do or allowed me to do something like that. But that the next retreat's happening and Lynn is involved and Sagina and Aimee and there's some, Julia, who are working with Leanne on leadership. So knowing that this has nothing to do with me, it's not mine, they're taking it over and hopefully to a next group and a next group of women as they're moving up.
Thank you.
I talked too much.
No, you did it all. Thank you. Sure. Thank you, Jen. Last April, when I was meeting Joy Smith, who we featured last night, and I was like, she said, it's amazing what women can do if they just believe that they can. And really, that's what this conference is about, is saying, you know what? You can. If God places it there, you can. Will there be obstacles? Absolutely. But you can. So that is this session. Now, come up here, Trinity Western. Actually, I need that back, if that's okay. Come on up. I haven't even met you yet.
No.
I'm Leanne.
I'm Leanne. Lynn's going to come up because she's one of our students.
Yes. So explain who you are.
My name is Michelle Willows, and I work at Trinity Western in the Adult Degree Completion Program.
Okay.
Thank you.
Say that again.
My name is
Michelle Willows. You can definitely hear me. And I work at Trinity Western in the Adult Degree Completion Program. And I love the fact that I get to help adults come back and finish their degree. Mm-hmm. And one of those students is Lynn Mattson.
That's awesome.
So we have designed a program specifically for adults, meant to be doable, you can relevant, very supportive. And one of the best things is that it's done in a one night a week. So we have it in Langley on a Monday, Tuesday night. We have it in Richmond, and we also have it online. So we have over 200 students that have been in our program or that are graduating. We have 40-plus that are graduating this year, and that does include our international programs. But it is amazing, and one of the best things, I think, is that we've chosen leadership as our major. And leadership really applies to every area in the marketplace. So we have folks like Lynn that are business owners doing consulting. We have folks in nursing wanting to get finish their degree. We have folks that are in healthcare, too, in all general areas. We have bankers, HR, folks wanting to go on and do their master's of counseling. We have folks that thought, I can't finish a degree, or I started and didn't finish my degree, and I'll never get this done, and we're creating a way for them to get it done. So, Lynn, if I can ask you, why were you drawn to a leadership degree?
Well, I had always wanted to get a degree, and I was interested in learning more about leadership.
Mm-hmm. So how's the one night a week going for you?
It's going really well. Yeah, no, it works out with my life. I go Monday nights, and we have about eight or 10 hours of homework a week, which includes reading and writing. And what I like about this program is there's no tests. They really have understood what it's like to be an adult learner. So yeah, there's no tests. There's our essays are anywhere between 2 and 3 pages, and it's doable. The instructors are very, very helpful, and they're very, very inspired for us to be successful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have classes that run for 6 weeks, and in that 6 weeks, you have multiple assignments. Throughout the week, you have interactions and things that you do to connect with your fellow classmates. So as Lynn said, you come to class 3 hours in the week, and then through the week, you know, 8, some say 12, some say 15. It does depend, but there's all, you get to do the work, but we do the work where it's us assessing you based on written and group and various interactions. So our adults do love that, for sure. So let me see, what else can I ask you? You just finished a course on conflict and negotiation. What was one of your big takeaways? Because I know some think, oh, that's a course. I've done lots of that in my life. But what was a big takeaway for you on that?
That is a life skill. I think they should teach that in high school. Our entire life is, in some ways, about conflict and resolution. And what I, how I processed it is leadership is about building trust. And resolving conflict is about bringing grace into that conversation. So my big takeaway was grace leads to trust, leads to influence, leads to leadership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And how long will it take you to finish your degree?
I think I'm shooting for the end of 2015. Yeah.
And when did you start?
September.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Good for you.
So in a two-year period, she will be able to complete her degree. Now, it's going to be different from everyone, so that's the fun thing. We get to help you see what credits you have and how can you do this journey. But that's the part of being supportive, right? We help you each step of the way. So, and then you are passionate about leadership, so I'll let you finish with that, because I know even being here and speaking, you were just passionate about women and leadership.
Mm-hmm. For me, one of the reasons why I'm doing this program is, of course, my faith. And Jesus was a servant leader. So I'm interested in learning about servant leadership, but also leading for Jesus. And just bringing his type of leadership style into where I am, wherever I happen to be. So, and I'm interested in helping others learn to know Jesus and also to be servant leaders.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Well, thank you. We do have just some info at the back there, and we will have info sessions coming up in April. So if we can help you, you know, discover more, this is a program for you and about you. It's not about us. And we love our jobs because we do get to see dreams come true. And people say, I came for that piece of paper. I just thought I, you know, needed to get my degree done, and it's about so much more.
Yeah.
And to see these women that, I have women that said, yeah, it was just about getting that 15 credits to get to the next step, and in the end, they're going on and doing masters now and doing things that are changing the world that they didn't think mm-hmm. was possible. Mm-hmm. So thank you for your time, and I know you need to have a break. So.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I'm a big fan of this program. We've had a few women from Living Waters go through, and it's not just about credits. It's about that sense that, yes, you can get it done. So thank you. Just maybe pass that to Elise, and she has a few announcements for us.